with you, and I think you have given us and
I'm
people
joking, by the way.
Yeah, people really don't can't conceive of the full and complete importance of your book, Jumpstart, Way to Healthy Living. Friends, $15. Save America Ministries is going to put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Add $4 for postage and handling. And, again, it's on our website, saveus.org. Now, day after day, we're discipling for destiny, we're preparing, we're encouraging, we're exhorting, we're wooing, we're warning. And would you become a partner? Send your gift by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Jumpstart, friends. We need.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of James Perloff, who's one of our favorite guests. James has been in this battle to save the world, to save America for many years. Back in the mid-1980s, he wrote a book, Going into the Shadow Government, and more recently his book, Going into the background of what's going on. The truth is a lonely warrior. And we carry both books. We advocate both of them. We think they're important. But James is a constant source of information, and we try to get him on as frequently as they can. Because basically, James is one of the few people who talks about the spiritual aspect of what's going on. You see, this is not a ideological or certainly a cultural battle we're involved in. It's a spiritual battle, and there really are people who worship the Prince of Darkness. There really are Luciferians. If you doubt that this is true, we advocate that you simply go to the website, trilateral.org. That's the website of the Trilateral Commission, and look at their logo. Why would they have picked a circle with made up of three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross? Do you think that's just coincidence? And of course it isn't. They understand this is a spiritual battle. They understand that they serve the prince of this world. But the difficulty is that most Christians really look as Christianity is sort of an abstract idea, not necessarily as something practical of what's really going on today. But unfortunately, we truly are engaged in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, I'm simply hoping we're going to be able to get James Perloff on the line here, because certainly we look forward to his remarks. James certainly has been writing about the spiritual battle, and there truly are secret societies. They work at every level of our society today. And we certainly look forward to having James Perloff. And if any of you out there, of course, have any experience with these secret societies, but they're there. Many times people, of course, will eventually leave them. And if they do, very often they're killed. James, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Stan, for having me on once again.
All right, fine. Well, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, Stan, you and I have talked about this in a different time frame, but most of the people for tonight's audience will not have heard it. We're talking about the Lusitania.
All right, fine. I just did want to mention that today is D-Day, and Christie Day celebrates the American attack, or Allied attack on Europe during the Second World War. But what really most people don't understand is that American corporations, American banks, American oil companies financed and suddenly built the weapons and armed the Germans all during the war, and so the weapons that were used there to defend the continent were manufactured by American manufacturers, just like the weapons that were used by our boys who went ashore that day. And this was simply another example of the degree of evil that exists today. They create wars. This World War II was fought to bring about a world government, just as World War I was fought to bring about a world government. And the sinking of the Lusitania, which we're going to be talking about, the Lusitania was actually sunk intentionally so that they thought they would bring America into the war in 1915. Fortunately, that failed. James, pick up the story.
Well, you're right about this being the anniversary of D-Day, and a lot of people do know about World War II. They have opinions about Hitler and World War II, but World War I has become almost a forgotten war. It was longer ago, but not that much longer ago than the Second World War, and some people might wonder about the relevance. Well, I do think it's quite relevant. For one thing, this month is actually the 100th anniversary of the...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
By more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
And this is Dr. Stan, and James is simply talking about the sinking of the Lusitania. Suddenly it was sunk in 1915. And basically, of course, the reason that the The Germans certainly had a submarine fleet. It was because the English had embargoed Europe, they had embargoed Germany, and basically there were hundreds of thousands of people in Germany, many of them children who'd starved to death because there wasn't any food. I mean, the embargo, the Allied embargo on Germany was ruthless, and as a result, they retaliated, they developed their U-boats, and of course, they had to try to actually counter English embargo of Germany by a German embargo of England. And of course, when British passenger boats or British boats came, they were always warned, initially warned ahead of time, so that the people could get off the boats, so the crew could get off, the passengers get off. But Winston Churchill actually negated that, so that there really was no way at all that the submarines could attack British ships, except certainly from underseas, once if they surfaced, why the British would attack them, in violation of all the rules and regulations that have been laid out, because Winston Churchill wanted an incident to bring America into the battle. So pick up the story from that point of view, the sinking of the Lusitania.
Exactly. Well, Churchill was arming these merchant ships, and even a small caliber cannon could sink a U-boat, because the U-boats were not designed for surface warfare. And by the time the Lusitania went down, several of their subs had been sunk by merchantmen. In fact, the commander of the U-20, which sank the Lusitania, had actually just narrowly recently escaped an attempted ramming. And I'm going to quote Churchill, because we're talking about him, what his motivation was in doing this, in arming the merchantmen. He wrote this to Walter Runciman, who was president of the Board of Trade. He said, quote, "It is most important to attract neutral shipping to our shores in the hope especially of embroiling the United States with Germany," unquote. And then here's what he said in his post-war memoir, The World Crisis. He said, quote, "The maneuver which brings an ally into the field is as serviceable as that which wins a great battle. The first British counter move, made on my responsibility, was to arm British merchantmen to deter U-boats from surface attack. As the U-boats were forced by the progressive arming of the British mercantile marine to rely on underwater attacks, they encountered a new danger. The submerged U-boat, with its defective vision, ran the greatest risk of mistaking neutral for British vessels and thus of embroiling Germany with the other great powers," unquote. So what Churchill is trying to do, he wants the U-boat to sink an American ship and have that be a pretext for an American declaration of war. But the Germans did not oblige. They were very scrupulous about which ships they sank, that they did not sink any American ships at this point. So the next best option for Churchill was, of course, to have a British ship sunk with Americans on board. And that became his goal. In fact, he asked Joseph Kenworthy, a commander in the political section of British Naval Intelligence, to issue a report on what the political impact would be if the Germans sank a British ship with Americans on board. And let's talk a little bit about foreknowledge of the Lusitania's being sunk, because that's important for people to know about. Our ambassador to Germany at this time was named Walter Heinz Page. He was vigorously pro-British. He was also on the private payroll while ambassador of Cleveland Dodge, who was the top financial backer of President Woodrow Wilson during his campaign. And so he was getting $25,000 a year to live in proper ambassadorial style from Dodge. This should not happen. This is the equivalent of a bribe. But let me just quote what Page wrote in a letter to his son on May the 2nd, 1915, 5 days before the Lusitania was sunk. He wrote, quote, "If a British liner full of American passengers be blown up, what will Uncle Sam do? That's what's going to happen," unquote. Walter Heinz Page, our ambassador to Britain. Notice that he says it's going to happen, not that it might happen. And he says the ship is going to be blown up, not simply damaged or sunk. Another great quote, very revealing quote, comes from Edward Mandelhaus. Many of your listeners, because I know you have informed listeners, Dr. Stan, Edward Mandelhaus was the controller of President Woodrow Wilson. He lived right in the White House. He was called Assistant President House by Harper's Weekly, and of course he was the unseen guardian angel of the Federal Reserve Act, which profited the bankers so greatly. But at the time the Lusitania went down, Edward Mandelhaus was in Britain as special emissary of President Wilson. And on the morning that the Lusitania was sunk, he met with their foreign minister, Edward Grey. And here's what he wrote in a letter, which you'll find in the intimate papers of Colonel House. Quote, "We spoke of the probability of an ocean liner being sunk, and I told him if this were done, a flame of indignation would sweep across America, which would in itself probably carry us into the war," unquote. Now, later that very same day, House and Grey, the foreign minister, went out to Buckingham Palace and met with King George V. And here's what House wrote of that encounter. Remember, this is only about 2 hours now before the Lusitania was sunk. Quote, "We felt it talking, strangely enough, of the probability of Germany sinking a transatlantic liner. He," meaning the king, "said, suppose they should sink the Lusitania with American passengers on board," unquote. There's no way we can simply dismiss this, Dr. Stan, as simply a chance remark someone happened upon in a casual conversation. They're talking about the Lusitania being sunk about 2 hours before the event actually happened.
And I think the whole thing was slam dunk. What most people don't understand is that Colonel Edward Mandel House was evil. He was actually part and parcel of the other Brotherhood. He was basically a Satanist. He was motivated by evil. His purpose was there to draw America into World War I and, of course, later to draw America into World War II. Go right ahead, James.
Well, that night the British were given a big dinner for House, and all the important British dignitaries were there, including Edward Grey. And when the news came the Lusitania had been sunk, House arose and announced that America would join the war within a month. And then Walter Hines Page cabled Wilson the next day, and he said, quote, "The freely expressed universal opinion is that the United States must declare war or forfeit European respect. If the U.S. does come in, the effect will be to bring peace and give the U.S. a great influence in ending the war and in reorganizing the world to prevent its recurrence," unquote, Walter Hines Page. I find this remarkable, Dr. Stan, in that just four years before the Paris Peace Conference, already Wilson, House, and Page are discussing ending the war and bringing about a League of Nations, which is quite remarkable.
But I think really what's so significant, ladies and gentlemen, as far as what's going on today, is we're heading to World War III. The same forces are at work in Washington, D.C. And when the League of Nations didn't bring about the world government, and when the United Nations didn't bring about the world government, World War III became inevitable. They're planning on it. Everything is in place. How soon it's going to begin, I do not know. But it is going to be used to bring about this one world government. And basically, it doesn't matter whether there's any justification for it. Millions are going to die, and I really fear this is going to be a nuclear war that is going to have a profound impact on America. Go right ahead.
And you're right. They used tragedy, disaster, on a small or great scale to bring about the agenda that they want to achieve for their own evil purposes. Let's talk a little bit about the specific reason why the Lusitania was targeted by the Germans. It was not merely a passenger ship. It had been built with the financial assistance of the British government by the Cunard Line, but they were subject to a requirement from the British government in return for this assistance in building her and for annual subsidies they received to operate the ship, that they would turn it into a warship in time of war. And this is actually what happened. Winston Churchill told the chairman of Cunard in 1913 that war was approaching, and the Cunard's liners were refitted as auxiliary cruisers. The Lusitania was plated, and she was mounted for guns, and there was a dispute about whether or not she had cannons. There is testimony that she did. I do believe it, although some authors dispute this. But the main reason that the Germans sank the Lusitania was her contraband. She was carrying 6 million rounds of rifle ammunition, 50 tons of shrapnel shells, 46 tons of aluminum powder, which is an explosive the British used. That was just some of their Woolwich arsenal. At least 15 tons of gun cotton, which they used in their mines. And so this was illegal, by the way, for American passengers to be on a ship carrying explosives. And Captain David Dow, the original captain of the Lusitania, after a few of these transatlantic voyages, informed Cunard he could no longer tolerate mixing passengers with munitions. He quit. And that's why he was replaced by Captain William Turner for the final fateful voyage. And I should also mention, that the Germans tried to get Americans not to board the Lusitania. 2 weeks before the ship was to sail, their embassy ordered ads to be placed, warnings published in the newspapers near the Cunard sailing notices. They had a notice they wanted to go in 50 newspapers. I'll quote exactly what it said. Notice, big letters, capitals, exclamation point. Travelers intending to embark on the Atlantic voyage are reminded that a state of war exists between Germany and Great Britain, that the zone of war includes the waters adjacent to the British Isles, that in accordance with formal notice given by the German government, vessels flying the flag of Great Britain are liable to destruction in those waters, and that travelers sailing in the war zone on ships of Great Britain do so at their own risk, unquote. That was a notice, but that notice, the publication was suppressed by orders of a State Department officer. They did get it published eventually when they got an audience with William Jennings Bryan, the Secretary of State, who cleared it. He was an honest man. And Bryan asked President Woodrow Wilson if he'd please warn Americans not to board the Lusitania. Wilson declined to do so. He was on the banker's puppet strings, just as he had been when he arranged for, helped to get the Federal Reserve Act passed.
And ladies and gentlemen, World War I was a totally contrived war. World War II was totally contrived, and all during World War II, why American corporations, American banks, American oil companies were building and certainly providing the weapons for the Germans. After all, you can't have a war unless you have an enemy, and I fear that this is exactly what's coming on today, and all this falter all about the a barrier in the conflict between Russia and the United States and Russia and China. We're financing both of those companies. We're financing both of those countries. We're heading into a war, and the average American has little or no concept at all. We'll be back in a moment.
38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is James Perloff. We're talking about the sinking of the Lusitania. And, of course, this is certainly apropos for today because World War I was contrived. World War II was contrived with over 60 million casualties. And, of course, I fear that World War III is upon us. And the average American finds it so difficult to believe that most of what's going on today is totally engineered and is certainly a prototype and a repeat, playing over again what happened in World War I when they sank the Lusitania to bring America into the World War I. Only this time, I fear, it's going to be a nuclear war, and hundreds of millions of Americans and hundreds of millions of people throughout the world will die in the coming Great War. Go right ahead, James.
Well, we're talking about the German attempt left to keep Americans from boarding the Lusitania. There's a lot of aspects to this false flag, and we should talk a little bit about how the British were fairly confident that this ship would indeed be sunk by a U-boat. Of course, there's no guarantee that the Germans are going to cooperate with this, but the Germans were pretty much in a catch-22 situation. If they did not sink the Lusitania, then all these tons of shrapnel shells and millions of cartridges would reach the front in Europe and kill German soldiers. If they did sink it, of course, it would be used for propaganda purposes by the British. Now, how do they know that the ship would probably be sunk by a U-boat? Well, the British Admiralty had broken Germany's naval codes, and so when a U-boat surfaced, they would intercept the messages. And they couldn't pinpoint the precise location of a U-boat, but they had a pretty good idea of the destinations and the general area of operations. And as far as the U-20, which sank the Lusitania, went, it had been active in the South Irish Sea. They were well familiar with the fact that it was there from reports of its sinking of the vessels. Now, on May the 5th, which is 2 days before the Lusitania went down, Winston Churchill met in the map room of the Admiralty with his first Sea Lord, Lord Fisher, and the commander Kenworthy of British Naval Intelligence. And they had a great grid there showing all the hostile ships and the British ships marked with pins. And the U-20 was there, and the Lusitania was there, and they were on a collision course. And Joseph Kenworthy wrote in his book, Freedom of the Seas After the War, quote, "The Lusitania was sent at considerably reduced speed into an area where a U-boat was known to be waiting and with their escorts withdrawn," unquote. I should mention, this is important, there were no escorts for the Lusitania. This is very unusual. On previous voyages, when the Lusitania sailed and there was a submarine threat, there would be destroyers accompanying her. But in this case, no destroyers were sent out, even though there were four destroyers lying idle in the nearby port of Milford Haven. And they were not even searching for the U-20, even though it had sunk two steamers the day before it brought down the Lusitania. The only ship sent to escort the Lusitania was an aging cruiser called the Juno. And ironically, the Juno itself was recalled and sent to the port of Queenstown on Ireland's southern coast on the pretext that she was too slow and there was a risk she could be sunk by the U-boat. But no such diversion to go to Queenstown was sent to the Lusitania. Now, the Admiralty had several options to save the Lusitania. They could have rerouted the ship around the north of Ireland. She was headed for Liverpool, and she could have safely gone around the north of Ireland where there were no U-boats operating, and the British knew that. Another option would have been to send it to Queenstown, and the other option would have been to send a military escort. They did none of those things, however. And there were communications between the Lusitania and the Admiralty, but strangely enough, the transcripts of those transmissions are all missing from the Admiralty's files. And many people think that the captain of Lusitania asked for permission to reroute the ship. He didn't have that authority to do it on his own, Captain Turner. And he was probably refused, but we don't know because the files are conveniently missing. Now, I'd like to quote an authority on all of this. It's Patrick Beasley. He was long an officer in British Naval Intelligence. He was actually the man who had moved the pins on that map that I was talking about, on the grid in the Admiralty's map room. And he's considered the leading authority on the history of British Naval Intelligence. Here's what he wrote in his book, Room 40, quote, "Nothing, absolutely nothing was done to ensure the liner's safe arrival. I am reluctantly driven to the conclusion that there was a conspiracy deliberately to put the Lusitania at risk in the hopes that even an abortive attack on her would bring the United States into the war. Such a conspiracy could not have been put into effect without Winston Churchill's express permission and approval," unquote. Patrick Beasley.
And he's writing about a conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. There was a conspiracy. They wanted that ship sunk. They wanted the Americans to die, along with the others, as a justification for getting us into the war, just exactly on September 11, 2001. Why, of course, they wanted those buildings to come down. And if you doubt that this was a controlled demolition, just go up on the Internet and put in Building 7 and watch Building 7 come down. Building 7 was a controlled demolition. They killed 3,000 people that day to get us into another census war.
Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, the This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Perloff. We're talking about the seeking of the Lusitania. James, if people would like to get in touch with you, get in touch with your ministry, how can they reach you? Do you have an email address, a telephone number, anything of that sort?
Yes. People should go to my website, which is jamesperloff.com. And Perloff is P as in Peter, E-R-L-O-F-F, jamesperloff.com. There's a contact form there. And also, we're talking about the Lusitania. I should mention that it's the most recent article on my blog. So you click on the blog on that website, an extensive article documenting all of this with footnotes on the Lusitania. You'll find it. It's got more than 40 graphics from that era. Also, information about my new book, which is an update of The Shadows of Power. It's called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And, of course, that one is stocked by your own Radio Liberty Ministry.
That is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get that from William, from James. You can get it from us. But it's important that you understand the background of the issues that led up to where we are today, because I fear that suddenly what has happened in the past is deja vu all over again. They're planning on a major World War III, and heaven help the American people. Go right ahead, James.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what was going on with Lusitania. The ship weighed 32,000 tons. When it was first launched in 1907, it was the largest ship afloat. And it sunk in just 18 minutes after being struck by one torpedo that had just 278 pounds of explosive. That's how much was carried on this type of torpedo. Now, there were two explosions. There was one from the torpedo, and then there was a mammoth explosion, and that's what sunk the vessel. The bow of the ship was almost immediately submerged underwater. And so why did it explode? Some in Britain tried to say it was a boiler room, but since sailors survived from every one of the active boiler rooms, we know that wasn't true. There's several theories on why what it actually caused the munitions to detonate. There were several explosives there. I mentioned these at the onset, outside of the program, and one was gun cotton, a very powerful explosive. And I should mention that there's rather an interesting anecdote in connection with that. The British naval attaché in Washington was named Captain Guy Gaunt. There's an affidavit in the archives of the Justice Department given by a chemist named Ritter von Retta. He was called to the offices of Gaunt a few days before the Lusitania sailed, and Gaunt asked him, what would happen if seawater came in contact with gun cotton? And Ritter told him it would be very dangerous if the unstable kind called pyroxylin was used. It would have to be in a watertight container. Otherwise, it could cause chemical reactions that would cause the gun cotton to explode. Well, the very next day, Gaunt went to the DuPont Munitions Company, and thereupon tons of pyroxylin were sent to the Kennard Wharf and loaded onto the Lusitania in 40-pound, not watertight containers, but burlap bags. And after making this affidavit, the chemist, Ritter von Rettig, was arrested. He was tried in camera. He was charged with making statements prejudicial to the peace of the nation, and he was imprisoned. And on the other hand, Captain Guy Gaunt was promoted to Rear Admiral and knighted. An interesting story there. It doesn't prove anything, but there are other theories, as you mentioned. Patrick O'Sullivan, in his book on the Lusitania, thought it was the aluminum powder, a very explosive substance, which was headed for the Woolwich Arsenal, of 46 tons on board. And others believe it was the percussion fuses for the shrapnel shells that were set off by the torpedo. Nobody knows for sure, but there were enough explosives on board. And the explosion that sunk the Lusitania did originate in her cargo hold where the munitions were kept.
Okay, we'll go right ahead, James.
Yes, well, I should talk about the cover-up. There's always a cover-up, whether it was one after Pearl Harbor with the Roberts Commission. Well, after Lusitania sunk,
don't forget about the cover-up they had for 9/11. Basically, there's a new report out on this. We'll be covering that next week, certainly on our programs. But they could not let the American people know they killed all those people on September 11th, so they get us into the war in Afghanistan, that war which is still going on today. And so basically they had a cover-up report, but there's a new report going to be coming out next week that definitely proves beyond any shadow of a doubt from an impartial, a peer-reviewed committee that essentially Building 7 was a controlled demolition, as was taking down the buildings, the Twin Towers, hours, which means that they murdered 3,000 Americans so they could get us into the Afghan War. It's like deja vu all over again. Go right ahead, James.
There's so many of these deja vus. Well, in the case of Lusitania, the cover-up was instituted by the British Admiralty. Of course, they're the ones responsible in the first place. And hundreds of bodies were washing up on the shores of Ireland. And the British Admiral sent a message to Vice Admiral Coke. He was in command of British defenses there in Southern Ireland. And they said, quote, ensure that bodies selected for the inquest have not been killed or mutilated by means which we do not wish to be made public, unquote. Now, what means could that be other than mutilation from the ship's munitions? But they needed a scapegoat, and they selected the captain of the vessel, Captain Turner. Richard Webb, who was director of the Admiralty's Trade Division, wrote this. He said, quote, one is forced to conclude that he, meaning the captain, is either utterly incompetent or was got at by the Germans, unquote. Admiral Lord Fisher, who was second in command to Churchill, said, quote, he's not a fool but a knave. I feel absolutely certain that Captain Turner of the Lusitania is a scoundrel and been bribed. I hope he will be arrested immediately after the inquiry, whatever the verdict or finding may be. And finally, he noted, quote, ought not Lord Mersey to get a hint, unquote. Now, I should mention that Lord Mersey was the justice who oversaw the hearing on the Lusitania. He'd also, interestingly enough, overseen the Titanic hearing. Churchill then responded, quote, we shall pursue the captain without check, unquote. And here's a quote for you. Lord Mersey was written to by Captain Webb, who said, quote, I am directed by the Board of Admiralty to inform you that it is considered politically expedient that Captain Turner, master of the Lusitania, be most prominently blamed for the disaster, unquote. So here we have a situation, Dr. Stan, where even before the inquiry had begun, the judge had been told who to find guilty. I should mention that Mersey suppressed all evidence during the hearing, which was much of which is held in camera in secret. Any evidence of cargo, he never even asked the captain what his cargo was. However, he refused to crucify Captain Turner, and there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, Captain Turner was an able veteran seaman, and no evidence, no significant evidence was produced in court to incriminate him. And also, Winston Churchill, by the time the verdict was rendered, had been kicked out of the Admiralty. He'd been dismissed due to the Dardanelles campaign, which had been a disaster for the British military. But Admiral Mersey, after the trial, asked that he no longer be assigned any justice duties, and he told his children, quote, the Lusitania case was a damned dirty business, unquote. I should probably mention next, well, what did they expect to get out of this? Of course, they wanted a declaration of war. And I think that, Dr. Stan, they're really looking back at the Maine. When the Maine was sunk in 1898, they got almost in very quickly a declaration of war against Spain. But in 1915, it was different. In the case of the Maine, the press, the yellow press of William Randolph Hearst had already built up an intense hatred of Spain with fabricated stories of Spanish oppression in Cuba. But the American people were not that upset about Germany. They were upset about the Lusitania, but they saw no reason to go to war. And the case for war over the Lusitania was extremely weak. For one thing, it was not lost on a lot of Americans that Britain was the first to violate international law, not the Germans. Also, it was getting around, despite attempts to cover it up, that the Lusitania did have munitions on board. This was brought out by Senator Robert La Follette. And also, I should mention that Americans could go to Europe without any risk. They could travel to Britain on an American ship. There was no need to go on a belligerent ship belonging to Great Britain, because the Germans were not targeting American vessels. You did not have to go on a ship like the Lusitania. You were free. There was no inherent right of Americans to travel on belligerent ships. Woodrow Wilson tried to say there was. He tried to say this was a sovereign right, but there was no precedent for it. In fact, I should mention that President George Washington had said that any American cargo vessel that went into a belligerent zone where America was neutral was not under the protection of the U.S. Navy. And the British themselves, during the Russo-Japanese War, had warned their citizens not to board belligerent vessels, that they could not be protected. So there was no precedent for Wilson's position, and he could not get the declaration of war. America was not ready. And so people like to scoff, Dr. Stanley, say, well, obviously it wasn't a false flag because there was no declaration of war. No, they didn't get it right away, but they certainly intended to. Unfortunately for them, and fortunately for America, the mood of opinion among the Congress and the people was not yet ready for war.
Okay, we're going to go right ahead because, of course, the war did come, and it was a terrible tragedy. They intended it to get us into the war. Fortunately, the good judgment of the American people, which were not willing to go along with the senseless war. They didn't want to go to war in 1915, but they didn't want to go to war in 1917. The only thing is that they had two more years of propaganda to manipulate them into this war. Wars, ladies and gentlemen, most of every one of them are contrived. And most of them are contrived today to bring about this eventual one world government, which is coming. Go right ahead.
Yes, and that's just what they were aiming for from this war as well as other things. Well, you're right. They had to build up a clamor for war. And so books and movies started appearing about the danger of a German invasion. This was absurd because the British couldn't even get out of the Germans couldn't even get out of their own ports with their warships because they're hemmed in by the British Royal Navy. But there was for example, there was a movie, and you'll see a scene from it in my website, on the blog on the Lusitania. It's called The Cry of Peace, 1915. And you'll see the Huns who've invaded New York City, and they're groping the young virtuous maidens of New York City, and people being told that there was this imminent danger of German invasion. Of course, they had no intent for that. There's never been the slightest bit of evidence for that. But Wilson, in the meantime, he tried to play a jousting game with the German government. After Lusitania was sunk, he sent the Germans an ultimatum and demanded they stop all submarine warfare, which, of course, they couldn't do. And they responded that it was Churchill who had broken the cruiser rules, and they even provided a copy of Churchill's orders to Wilson, which they'd gotten off of a captured merchant ship. And they also pointed out that Lusitania was carrying munitions, and President Wilson sent a reply that this was not true, that the United States had scrupulously made sure there were no munitions on board. Well, William Jennings Bryan, the Secretary of State, refused to sign that statement. He knew it was false because Wilson had already been advised by the Collector of Customs in New York, Dudley Field Malone, that almost everything on board the ship was contraband. So William Jennings Bryan, at that point, he was an honest man. He resigned as Secretary of State, but unfortunately he was replaced by an insider, Robert Lansing, who was the uncle of Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles, who, of course, were leading insiders of politics in the 20th century. But they kept up this jousting game. Every time there was an incident, some minor incident where an American got injured on a belligerent ship, Wilson would again try to get Germany to break relations. And Germany said, well, look, we won't sink any more passenger ships, but if you want us to observe international law, you've got to get the British to do the same thing. Well, if you look in your history books, it'll say that Wilson got his declaration of war in 1917 because Germany resumed unrestricted sub-warfare, and that's true, they did. But remember, they made their pledge on the condition that Britain reciprocate, and Britain never did. But President Wilson held Britain to a different standard than he did to the Germans. And, of course, that kind of hypocrisy is just simply par for the course with the Illuminati and the people who run our presidents.
You're absolutely right. And most people don't understand that all of these wars are contrived. And, of course, we're heading into another terrible, terrible war. And the average American is never going to hear about this because of the degree of control that exists today over the mass media in the United States and then over what the American people have been led to think and believe. Go right ahead.
I should mention that Wilson had to back off a little bit in 1916 because he was up for re-election. And it's interesting that the America wanted to stay out of war. And as a result, the Republican candidate, Charles Evan Hughes, had a huge lead over Wilson in the polls because people were picking up on the fact that Wilson was trying to push us towards war. So what happened was, you might recall that some of you readers, listeners, I'm sure, know that Teddy Roosevelt was used to get Wilson elected. He broke up the Republican Party by running on the Bull Moose ticket in 1912, which split Republican votes and gave the election to Woodrow Wilson, even though he only had 42% of the popular vote. Well, they trotted out Teddy Roosevelt one more time in 1916. Teddy Roosevelt began going around the country making pro-war speeches denouncing Germany and saying that anybody against the war was a mollycoddle. Well, that's not how Charles Evan views Hughes felt, the Republican candidate, but nonetheless, people by association thought that he was pro-war. In the meantime, the Democrats caught on, and they made Wilson's campaign slogan, "He kept us out of war." The irony is that Wilson got reelected in one of the closest presidential elections in history, the election of 1916, because Americans wanted to stay out of war. But as soon as he got reelected, he again picked up the war ball, and he moved to get that declaration of war, which he did achieve in April of 1917.
And tragically, of course, then America is drawn into World War I, a totally senseless war. We had over 100,000 deaths, another 400,000 casualties. And, of course, there were about 20 million people, 21 million people, and all died. And then, of course, we had the great epidemic following that. Another 21 million people died. And all for naught, all totally manipulated. Go right ahead, James.
You're very right to bring up those casualties. This war is relevant, and those people are not forgotten to God, even though they may be forgotten in general by people's in this day and age, simply because it was 100 years ago. But let's talk a little about the Illuminati wanted to get us into this war. There were actually several reasons. Of course, the public purpose was that this is the war that will end all wars. And, of course, it failed in that purpose, but it did succeed in the purposes they had. And in my article, which you'll find on my website, jamesperloff.com, I list seven of them. One was to restructure the world. They need that for their new world order. And so empires were destroyed. The Ottoman Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Russian Empire. Germany was dismembered. Six monarchies, 23 duchies and principalities were shuttled aside to make way for this new system. And, of course, that was to bring about a world government that would oversee the restructured world, which is the second purpose. And the world government, the first formal one was achieved. That was the League of Nations, which was proposed by Woodrow Wilson at the Paris Peace Conference. And it was not his idea. It was written really by Edward Mandell House, and you can find that out both from the official biographies of Woodrow Wilson and Edward Mandell House. But, of course, the Bible warns us that the Antichrist is going to rule the world. Well, to govern the world, Dr. Stan, you need a world government. That's what world government's about. That is what the League is about. It was satanic. Another purpose, of course, was to ignite the Bolshevik Revolution. And it's interesting that Jacob Schiff, who was one of the top three financial backers of Woodrow Wilson's campaign, was the chief financier of the Bolshevik Revolution also. And I'm sure it's known to many of your listeners that Schiff sent Leon Trotsky, the revolutionary, from New York in 1917 to Russia with $20 million in gold on a ship with 275 other terrorists. They were detained in Canada, in Halifax, by the Canadians. And the reason he was arrested by the Canadians was that I'll pick that up after the break.
Joel Hood will be back here in just a moment. Our guest, of course, is James Perloff. And basically, of course, this whole World War I was contrived. That's World War II as the coming war.
By more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Much.
Thank you for being such a faithful servant. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and certainly and basically, we're trying to get people to understand that most of the things that are going on today are totally contrived, that there's this very, very small, well-organized group of people who want to bring about a one-world government. They probably don't make up more than 2 or 3% of the population of the world, but these are inherently evil people. And until people understand that, it's going to be very, very difficult for the average American to understand the true nature, certainly of the demonic forces that are at work within the world today. Well, basically, of course, Radio Liberty is on the front lines of this battle, and our job is to get people to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle that is being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And of course, we can't do this without your help. If you're in a position to help us financially, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And you can certainly subscribe to the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can listen to our radio programs there, certainly at that site. And of course, they're live 4 hours a day. They archive 24 hours a day. Your job is to get the information out as far and wide as we possibly can so that the average individual will understand the true nature of what's going on today. And of course, ordinarily, people, the average individual listening to the radio is certainly swayed because, of course, the control of the media is very, very widespread. There are certainly six major corporations in the United States that control 90% of the media in the United States. As a result, why, of course, the average American has no idea, understanding that these cover both the conservative and liberal. And they're not in favor of preserving America. They pretend to be, but all of it is to certainly divert you away from the fact that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So we ask you, if you're out there in America, to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for our ministers, and for certainly our, and hopefully encourage other good people to get involved in the political process. But without your help and support, there's no way in the world that we are going to be able to certainly reach people across America and keep America headed towards a one world, certainly a free society. There are people working at the highest levels of our government who want a one-world government under truly demonic control. This is not imaginary. This is really very, very real. These people are well organized. They're very well financed. And quite frankly, we need your help. We cannot reach people without your help. So we ask you, Chris, if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family supporters, suddenly give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We need your financial help. But more than that, we need your spiritual help. We need you to tell others about our program, to encourage them to listen, and to understand that the things that are taking place today are not accidental. They are part of a carefully coordinated effort on the part of a very small group of truly demonic beings. And these people are demonic. But their effort is to bring about this one world government, one world financial system, and certainly to regulate every aspect of life in our society. So, Chris, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we're going to be back here in just a moment or two to line up the next program right here at Radio Liberty.
Shed his grace on thee.
Is that it, Grandpa?
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you through the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ted Shubat, and we're going to be talking about what's going on over there in the Near East and the Middle East. And basically, ladies and gentlemen, suddenly it's a great tragedy what happened with a Korean ferry that went down, and probably 300 or 400 lives are lost. But they lose certainly the 300 or 400 lives every couple of days over there in Syria. We don't talk about that. Over 150,000, well over 150,000 defenseless Syrian citizens have been killed. They're not combatants at all. Basically, the Christians over there are being raped. The women are being raped. The children are being killed. The towns are being burned down. And we don't talk about that. Oh, no, my goodness. We want to talk about what's going on over in Korea. We want to talk about the latest football game. We want to talk about all sorts of other things. And yet, of course, I believe, of course, what's going on in the Near East and Middle East today is going to have a profound impact on what's going on in America. And I believe that we're in for some very difficult times because there's no instance in history where a nation has turned against God, where God had not eventually turned against that nation. So, well, this is Ted Shubat. We've had his dad, Wally, on, and we've had Ted on before. We're looking forward to his thoughts on what is really going on in the Near East, Middle East. Ted, you pick up the story.
Well, to start off the conversation in the initial subject, and that is what is happening in the Middle East, I think a good topic to discuss is what is taking place in Nigeria. And the reason why I bring up Nigeria is because in Nigeria right now, there is what is happening is the, as far as what is recorded, is the greatest persecution against Christians unlike any other place in the world. Right now, there are more Christians being killed in Nigeria than any other place. Because in Nigeria, here you have a nation that is that has a majority Christian population and has a very small Muslim population. Muslims only make 11% of the country. And yet, the Muslims are killing more Christians in this nation than anywhere else. So you have two Muslim groups in Nigeria. You have Boko Haram and you have the Fulani Muslims, which is another Muslim tribe. And they are killing thousands. And according to one Nigerian politician, they have already killed over 25,000 Christians in Nigeria. And they go, what these people do is they go into random villages, Christian villages, and they just butcher people at random. They'll go into one village, they'll kill 200 people. Recently they went into a Christian elementary school, kidnapped over 100 schoolgirls. Few of them have escaped, but the majority of them are still missing. They are taking little boys and selling them into sex slavery. Little boys for pedophilia. Little girls also for sex slavery. Not only that, but they do horrific rituals. When you look into what's happening in Nigeria, you see the diabolical. The world's the diabolical in its purest form, truly. But I hear the music, so...
No, you go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. My job is to make the program run. Your job is to keep us educated. But I think it's really such an important issue. And we only hear occasionally about what's going on in Nigeria. And I share your concern. Go right ahead.
Well, they do horrific rituals. And one of the rituals they do is they believe that the blood of a Christian has actually special power. And this is what the imams are teaching people in Nigeria, that if you drink the blood of a Christian, you will actually receive salvation. They really believe this, and they take it. There was actually a guy who left the Boko Haram cult, and he gave his testimony, and this is what he
said. Hold that thought.
More certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Just a moment, sure. Ed. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ted is simply saying that in Nigeria, why, of course, it's not uncommon for the Muslims, when they kill a Christian, and for no reason at all, they just kill him, and then they drink the blood of the Christian. And basically, why would they do that? Well, basically, people say that has nothing to do with the Muslim faith. That probably has to do with the pagan beliefs. Certainly, they had all these pagan religions there before. But basically, of course, the Muslims have been told that it will increase certainly their power, their spiritual power, if they do this. And unfortunately, there are powerful spiritual forces at work in the world today. And basically, we don't understand what is really going on elsewhere, or the pressure that the Christians are under all throughout the world, both in Africa and in the Near East today, in the Near East and the Middle East today, because our attention is being focused on unimportant, and I'm not saying that the tragedy unfolding in Korea is unimportant, but when you stop and think that simply in the one country alone, in Syria, over 150,000 civilians have been killed, in Nigeria, over 25,000 Christians have been killed. But Ted, you go ahead and pick up the story, because yes. You studied this, and I know you're in contact with people all throughout the world who are getting this information out, but of course it's not being widely disseminated because of the degree of control that exists today over the media in America and what the American people are allowed to think and believe. Go right ahead.
Well, to resume what I was going to say, in amongst the Kurdish people in Turkey and also in Iraq, and amongst the Turkish people as well, there is a belief. I'm not saying everybody in Turkey does it, but nonetheless, there is a belief amongst numerous people in this region of the Middle East that if you kill a Christian, you drain his blood and you wash your hands with the blood, and by washing your hands with the blood, you receive forgiveness of sin. I heard this from our contact in Syria. She is a nun, Orthodox. Eastern Orthodox nun by the name of Sister Hatun Dojan, and she lived amongst the Kurds. She was born and raised in Turkey, and she was raised in a Kurdish area of Turkey. And she and her family had to flee the Kurdish area because the Kurds were trying to annihilate their whole family and the other Christians in the that were inhabiting that area. And she told me that she said the Kurds believe when I was there that when you kill the Christian, the reason why they wanted to kill Christians was because if you can drain the blood of a Christian and bathe your hands in the blood, then you will receive perpetual forgiveness of sins and your salvation is guaranteed. When you die, you go to paradise, you go to heaven. And this belief is not dead, nor is it minute. It's not a substantial amount of people believe this and still observe it. Why are so many Syrian Muslims? Why are so many jihadists in Syria so focused and bent on killing Christians? Our contact, Sister Hatun Dojan, she had a meeting with a man who was one of the head rebels in Syria currently, in the current civil war taking place in Syria. And he left the jihad. He completely renounced Islam and became Christian. And she interviewed him, and he was talking about how there is a very fiery and zealous and just pure dark aspiration amongst the jihadists to butcher Christians. It's not just they just want to kill people for fun. No, they have a specific aim at killing Christians. And he was talking about how there was this great thirst within himself and within the other jihadists to kill Christians. And so in the middle of the interview, Sister Hatun asks him, what do you do with all these bodies? What do you do with when you kill so many Christians? What do you do with the body? And he says, we drain the blood. And she says, why would you want to do that? He says, because we drain the blood and we put the blood in tiny little vials. Because in Saudi Arabia, there are many people in Saudi Arabia, not just politicians, but just regular people living in Saudi Arabia, who believe that once you wash your hands in the blood of a Christian, you receive forgiveness of sins. So he says there is a huge business going on right now in Saudi Arabia that for selling Christian blood, and that is why they are so focused. They are so desirable. of killing Christians because they can receive $100,000 a vial. That's how much these Saudis are willing to pay for this blood. They really believe in this demonic superstition. They really believe that there is power in the blood of a Christian, which is very, I think, very odd and eerily, deserving of attention. I mean, the fact that they believe there's power in Christian blood tells us something about how the demons see us. And so that is why, she said, this is really one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons why the Muslims in Syria are killing so many Christians, because there is this major market, underground market, that the mainstream media is not talking about. Neither is the small time or underground media talking about this. The only reason we know this is because we know somebody on the ground who tells us these things. And she told us so many horrific stories of what happens in Syria and Iraq. I'll give you one story. Sister Hatuno Jan, she is really a saint. She's a modern day Mother Teresa, and she has comforted and is comforting thousands upon thousands of Christian families whose fathers, whose husbands, whose daughters, whose sons have been killed by Muslims in Syria, Iraq, Turkey, Jordan, and girls who are raped, girls who are sexually molested. And so she met this one woman in Iraq, and who she was tending to. And she was talking to this woman, asking her, what type of persecution have you gone through? And this woman in Iraq said, I lost my son. Well, how did that happen? She said, because the Muslims came to my house, they stole my child, and they say, you have about this amount of time, this number of weeks, to give us, I think it was about $80,000 US. If you don't give us this money, we're going to kill your son. She could not obtain the money. They're very poor, very impoverished people. And she could not obtain the money. And when the deadline came for the money to come, she says, I opened the door, and there was a large metal pot in front of the door. I opened the pot, she said, and there I saw rice, vegetables, still hot, still cooked. And in the middle of the rice and the vegetables was the head of my son. The head of the toddler, and the head was completely fried. It was cooked. They actually took the time to cook the head, make the rice, make the vegetables. She says it was something that comes straight from the pit of hell.
Well, I think there are these terrible things going on today, and we're just not talking about that. But go ahead.
Yes, people don't want to hear this. But when we interviewed Sister Hatun Dojan, we got the story. I filmed her recounting the story. I posted it on the internet, and people were saying, we can't believe it. This is too horrifying to be true, but people don't realize that once the U.S. government, once the Western countries helped get rid of the dictators in the Middle East, be it Saddam, be it they're trying to get rid of Assad, they got rid of Gaddafi, they got rid of Mubarak. When they were tampering with the East, what that did was it opened the gates of hell. And now an army of demons have just come out. And they are everywhere, all over the place. And there's talent. Go ahead.
I think it's so important people realize that whether you like Gaddafi or not, why he certainly was allowing the Christians to live there in his country. And the same thing was certainly true with Musharraf in Egypt. The same thing was true with Assad in Syria. The same thing was true of even the wicked Saddam Hussein in Iraq. In fact, yes. Saddam Hussein actually trusted the Christians, and he gave many of them jobs in his administration because he knew he could trust them. They wouldn't stab him in the back. And we destroyed all of these people and unleashed this horror. Go right ahead.
Yes, and this happened in Iraq, actually, the story. And so Saddam Hussein, he was brutal, but he was doing his policy was the only choice he had. Because think about this. Here is Saddam Hussein, who was a Sunni Muslim, ruling over a population that is majority Shiite. So here you have a nation that's about 84% Shiite with a Sunni minority. And here you have Saddam Hussein, who's part of that minority, ruling over the majority, was the Shiite majority. And then you have the Kurdish population, who also hate you, violently, viciously hate you. So you have absolutely no choice but to be brutal in Saddam's shoes. Put yourself in his shoes. You have to be brutal. You have to be dictatorial. You have to be ruthless, or else you're going to have a stick impale your body. And that's pretty much what happened to Gaddafi. As soon as the Muslims in Libya took over, they took Gaddafi, and they shoved a stick up his anus. They impaled him, essentially. They raped him with a stick. And when you look at what's happening in Libya right now, because they threw out Gaddafi, the Christian population in Libya, many people are being killed. There was a Christian professor in Libya who was driving to work, and he was a chemistry professor. He was driving to work in his car, and there was bullet holes go through his car, and they found his corpse laying there right there in the car. And they also found the bodies of seven Christians in Libya, their hands tied behind their backs, all shot execution style, all done by Muslims in Libya as a result of removing Gaddafi. And you're going to see this rise of Islamic fundamentalism, what you're seeing right now with all this violence, blood drinking, bathing your hands in blood, selling Christian blood. Not only that, but there's stories of cannibalism, mass slaughterings of Christians that's going on. What you're seeing right now is not something that is new. This is simply a revival and a restoration of Islamic fundamentalism, pure Islam. From the time of Muhammad. That's what you're saying.
Well, it's a sad commentary, but ladies and gentlemen, because of the degree of control of the media today, you're not going to hear a lot of these things, and as a result, the Christians in America can go blithely on their way, enjoying the good life. We live in the most wonderful country with certainly great prosperity, certainly the people who are living in poverty here are certainly would be considered rich in most other countries throughout the world. But simply remember, they're lying to us about our debts. Basically, the real expenses every year is about $6 trillion, not $3 trillion, $3.5 trillion, as we're being told. And this whole thing's coming to a stop very, very soon. And I fear for my country when I refer to God as just, and his justice will not sleep forever.
And over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ted is talking about a Christian who lives in Pakistan. He's quite infirmed. He actually is paralyzed from the waist down, has to get around in a wheelchair. But both he and his wife have been accused, certainly, of blaspheming the prophet. Somebody has stolen their cell phone and put all sorts of anti-Islamic messages on it, all in English. Of course, the gentleman doesn't speak English. His wife doesn't speak English. It's obvious that it's all fraudulent. But the judges said, look, I have to condemn these people to death, because if I don't, the mobs will kill me. And basically, yeah. Of course, this is the situation where it is today. Now, Ted and his ministry and his dad's ministry have taken the children and the father, one of the father of the gentlemen, certainly, and moved them to another country, because, of course, in Islam, Islamic country, if anybody certainly blasphemies the prophet, why not only they, but then their family can be killed as well. But right now, of course, they're doing everything they can to prevent them carrying out this decree and executing them. They put off the execution for some time. So where do we stand today in this story, Ted?
Well, just to finish what I was going to say, they psychologically tortured the husband. They said, if you do not admit that you were the ones writing those texts, we will strip your wife naked and we will walk her down in the street in public. This is the way that police officers torture people psychologically in Pakistan. And Shafkat, the husband, later had to admit, okay, he admitted that he made the text. But it was, of course, this admission by him was done under coercion. So there's still no valuable, no tangible, serious, concrete evidence to put against this man. So the judge stated that he has to put this man to death. And when they made the sentence of the death penalty, there was a whole mob of Muslims who entered the courtroom, and they began to scream verses from the Quran, reciting them over and over again. And so the judge, under pressure, said, I sentence these two to death, capital punishment, by hanging. That's how they will be killed. Now, this man is in a wheelchair, let's not forget. So we had to rescue the children and the grandfather, and we put them in a different country, and we have been able to delay for quite a significant amount of time the death penalty. We've been able to delay it. We appealed for it, and we were lucky enough to delay the death penalty, the execution of these two people. What we're doing now is we are working very hard to push the judge by using media. And by using media, we can get other countries, United States perhaps, other European countries, to push Pakistan not to kill this man. Because Pakistan is still a third world country, and they will usually break under the pressure of first world nations. So what we're trying to do is get media attention on this, push the government, push the judges, and coerce them, push them to acquiesce to our demands and not spill more Christian blood. There's enough Christians being killed. We cannot allow another Christian to be killed. So I ask the audience, if you want to help, this is your chance. This is your chance to actually get involved in the rescuing of these Christians, because We are on the ground. We are not just some ministry that talks about persecution. We actually save persecuted people. We have managed to rescue over 2,000 people in Pakistan so far from mobs, from blasphemy law. And we can rescue these people if we put our minds and our efforts onto it. And we are putting our minds and our efforts, but we can't do any rescuing without money. That is the obligation they're under. We need money in order to rescue these people. So I ask you, please, to go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org. And you can give as much money as you want. You can give a monthly donation, or you can give $15, $20, $50, doesn't matter. All the money, all of it, goes directly to saving Christians. And we are right now focusing most of our time on rescuing Shafkat and Shagufta, the husband and wife. They have children. Please, we do not want another husband and wife killed. We do not want more Christian orphans to be fatherless and motherless.
And, Chris, there are these problems all across the world, which we're not hearing about. I mean, well, could you imagine something like this being shown on 60 Minutes or 2020 or something of that sort? And, of course, you're not going to see that. They're going to be talking about all sorts of other things, but they're going to ignore the persecution of Christians, the murder of Christians, the torture of Christians taking place throughout the world. Could these things really be going on? I have no question they are, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, our guest is Ted Shobat, and you can go to their website, Rescue Christians. Is that rescuechristians.com or .org?
.org, rescuechristians.org.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call.
Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And suddenly, this whole story is really so incredible that these terrible things are happening. And suddenly, telling the story off air, certainly about a girl kidnapped in Jordan and held for ransom and raped by seven different men over a period of many, many days until the ransom money could be raised. And then they slashed her face. And basically, why is this done? It's done because they're Christians. And basically, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And would you like to talk a little bit about what's going on in Syria? Because I think this is a very, very important subject.
Well, yes, we're doing a good amount of work in Syria, helping many girls who were kidnapped or raped by Muslims. There is, in Syria right now, there is mass genocide taking place. And as you said, over 100,000 people have been killed. But also, I don't know if you've heard about this, but we also found slaughterhouses in Syria. And when I mean slaughterhouses, you may receive that as figuratively. But no, I'm not saying this figuratively. I am saying this as a fact. They're actual, literal slaughterhouses, whole buildings where human beings are brought and they are processed like cows. If you ever look at a slaughterhouse, you'll see cows hanging on their feet and the blood is draining. Well, just imagine that and then replace the cow with a human being. And that is what's taking place. They're called the Muhammad slaughterhouses. We found two slaughterhouses, one in the region of Homs, and the other slaughterhouse was in Abu Dhaiba area in Syria. And there was a man who survived the slaughterhouse. His name was Abdulubi, and he did a TV interview in Syria. And we translated the interview from Arabic to English. He said that there were Christians in the slaughterhouse. He's Muslim, by the way. And the reason why they kidnapped him is because he was a journalist. He's working for the media. And they had two Christian Armenians in the slaughterhouse, and they had a very tall Egyptian man with a very, very long and sharp blade. And this Egyptian man got one of the Armenians, and he kind of felt around the Armenian man's neck, and he said, "You are an elderly man. I don't have to sharpen my blade." And then he decapitated him. And then he took the other Armenian Christian and decapitated him. So so we have to first comprehend, why are they doing this? Is this just because they enjoy killing? Well, of course they enjoy killing, but at the same time there is a religious significance behind these killings. There is a ritualistic purpose behind these killings, and that is they believe that this is a form of human sacrifice. They believe that by taking these human beings, not just killing them, but processing them, taking the intestines out, cutting certain parts. And I have two beliefs in regards to this. One, I believe that this is a human sacrifice, because when you study how the Muslims see killing, we actually found another video that was filmed in Iraq of the ISIS, which is an Islamic organization. And the same organization is the one that founded the slaughterhouses in Syria. And they are killing over a dozen of Iraqi soldiers, American-trained Iraqi soldiers. And before they execute these Iraqis, they say, "Oh Allah, accept these sacrifices that we offer to you. Accept this as a sacrifice." And then they open fire and they kill all of them. And so we know that the ISIS, which is an organization, it's an Islamic organization that is settled in Iraq and in Syria. They believe that by killing their enemies, that it is a blood atonement to Allah. Now, the second reason why I believe they're doing this is because I am of the suspicion that they are eating these people. There's cannibalism. Because last year, we discovered, on Shubat.com, we discovered that there was a disease called Kuru that all of a sudden erupted in Syria. Now, Kuru is a disease that is mortal. I mean, when you get it, you die. There's no cure. It's like AIDS, but it kills you very quickly. And it was the belief among scientists that were studying Kuru that Kuru was extinct, because Kuru was only found prior before it being found in Syria. It was only found in Papua New Guinea. And the reason why they found it in Papua New Guinea is because the tribes, they were eating human beings. Once Australian missionaries came and got a lot of these pagans to become Christians, and once they outlawed cannibalism, Kuru died off. And so they thought, no more Kuru. It's an extinct disease. They can't find it in any other country. All of a sudden, last year, they find it in Syria. And they said the only way that this could happen was that somebody is eating human beings in Syria. They found 9 cases of it. When we were conducting our research, they found 9 cases of Kuru. Now, we don't know. Of course, the number has probably increased. But they found it in Syrian rebels. They didn't find it in Syrian soldiers. They found it amongst Syrian rebels, according to the Syrian media that we were translating. And they got one of these rebels, and they transported him to a hospital in Turkey. The Turkish hospital didn't want him. They said, we don't want that because we don't want Kuru in our hospital. So they transported him from Turkey to Germany, and the Germans accepted him, and they put him in a room, and he quickly died. And it's a horrific death. I mean, you die. It's a very painful death. And they said, well, they found it amongst rebels. We know they found it amongst rebels. It was 9 people who had it, and this disease was believed to be extinct, but all of a sudden it popped up surprisingly in Syria. And then all of a sudden we have slaughterhouses, and we look at the footage. We found 2 videos of these 2 different slaughterhouses. You look at the bodies, they're processed like animals, cut into pieces. And then the fact that you have another video of a rebel eating a human heart, and then we have another rebel, a video interview of a rebel, who is, you look at his face, I mean, he's completely demon-possessed. He is demon-possessed. And he is saying that if he could, he would eat hearts. He's expressing his desire to eat a human heart. When you put all these facts together, you're saying it's not beyond them that they're going to cannibalize their victims in these slaughterhouses, because they're already cannibalizing people. And so this is what's happening in Syria, and we're not hearing this. The only reason why people know about these slaughterhouses is because we discovered them. We found out about the cannibalism. We found out about the Kuru virus, and through the Middle Eastern media.
And of course, most of us are in a position to read the Middle Eastern media. That's why we have to depend on you and your yes. dad, and certainly your ministry to get this information for us.
Yes, yes. And you know, all mainstream media has access to Middle Eastern media. All mainstream media in America have translators that can understand Arabic. They can find these things, but they just don't want it. And even when we brought the information of these slaughterhouses to a major media network, very few picked it up. And there was even we even had a producer, the producer of the show, for Michael Medved. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a mainstream conservative radio host. And we brought the information about the jihad taking place in the Middle East. They said, they said to us, the exact words of the producer was, we're booked. So it shows the absolute indifference. One of the few mainstream hosts who did want to talk about it was Mark Levine. And he brought my father over and we conducted an interview. And many people heard about it, and many people came to our site. In fact, last month, which is when we reported on this, that was the month that we had the most views in the history of our website. We had over 1 million people come to our website just to read this. And but still, you know, there's 300 million people living in America. We only had 1 million. So there's over 300 million people living in America. It shows you still how indifferent and lethargic most of the American people are. They just, like you said in the beginning of the show, they care about the football game. Or they want, oh, what's happening in Korea? What's happening in China? And everybody is terrified of China. And here's the reality, is that, it's like, listen, Walmart can put China out of business. The United States, if American companies stop buying Chinese products, China goes out of business. When the average American is having difficulties with his 401k, the average Chinese person is dealing with malnutrition. So the difference between America and China is like this. Think of it in this analogy. If America is suffering from a flu, China is suffering from ammonia. China is suffering from a very serious disease. That is the difference, to put it in a simple analogy. So China, I'm not worried about China as a threat to the world. I'm worried about two governments, two states. And that is, one, the coming Islamic Confederacy that will form, and that is, it will be all of the Muslim nations coming together, aligning themselves, and forming one nation. And they will be headed by Turkey. One, that is the first threat. And the second major threat I'm worried about is Japan. Most people are not focusing on Japan because we still think that Japan is our ally. When we look at the fact that Japan is heavily working with Turkey, Japan was supposed to never go nuclear. In the first time in its history, after post-World War II, that is, all of a sudden Japan is in its most powerful position, is in its most powerful military state. Japan right now has now agreed. Japanese politician Shinzo Abe, who's the prime minister of Japan, and his political party and the other political parties that are ruling in Japan, they have all agreed that Japan will now start producing nuclear weapons. Well, according to the constitution that America imposed on Japan after World War II, Japan isn't supposed to even have a major military. It's not even supposed to have nuclear. It's not supposed to even defend itself. I mean, this is how strict the pacifism of Japan is supposed to be. If Japan is attacked, Japan has to ask America for permission to attack back. That is how strict the pacifism is that America imposed on this country after World War II. Japan is now throwing the shackles of American pacifism off, and America is allowing it. So they say Japan and Turkey have made an agreement that Japan will build Turkey's first nuclear reactor. Japan will go to Turkey and build this nuclear reactor. And not only that, but the Shinzo Abe and hundreds of politicians, and Japanese politicians, are saying that America was wrong for attacking us in World War II. We never committed any atrocities against Chinese and other Asian people. We never committed mass rapes, because it's been recorded that Japan raped over 200,000 women during World War II. It's been recorded that Japan has killed over 30 million people in the country that it occupied. They're denying all of it, and we never did any of this stuff. And Turkey is doing the same thing. Turkey is saying, we never did the Armenian genocide. So we have two countries that are denying its past atrocities. They are working together. And not only that, but America is enabling it, because America sees in Turkey and Japan two important allies. America sees Turkey as a country that will balance the Middle East, a country that will keep Iran in check, a country that will bring order into the Middle East. And America sees Japan also in the same light in regards to the Far East, because America is terrified of China and America is terrified of North Korea. And so they believe that China can be the balancer that will keep those two countries in check. And Japan is all for it. They're saying, yes, we will protect America from Korea. We will protect America from China. And then you have the islands, Senkaku Island. And so China and Japan right now are struggling over those two islands. And there are people in China who are saying, we are going to go to war with Japan over these islands. And there are people in Japan who are saying, we're going to go to war over these islands. And America knows this, because America had over about 142 or so Japanese special forces come into California and come into a military base, and they train these Japanese soldiers on how to retake islands. Why would they be trained Japanese soldiers on how to retake islands? Because America knows that one day in the near future, Japan and China are going to be in a war, and America will help Japan. That'll empower Japan, and Japan will use this to their advantage, and they will capitalize on this in order to revive their old imperial government and revive emperor worship, collective emperor. They're still worshiping their emperor, but mass, open, collective emperor worship, and to revive the old Buddhist system of Bushido as a collective ideological system that all the society will have to follow. In fact, there is a book that the Japanese politicians, many Japanese politicians follow. It's called On the Teaching of the True Doctrine, the Buddhist book. And it says that those who blaspheme against Buddhism are to be put to death. It says this. And they are politicians who are saying, It is our goal to advance the teachings of this book. We're not focusing on Japan. We have to look at it. What's happening in Japan right now and the way America is dealing with Japan is eerily similar to how America right now is dealing with Turkey. Because America trusts them that they will keep peace to the world. What they don't know is that Turkey and Japan are the devils America doesn't know. They're the devils that America doesn't want to know. Because we want to focus on the devils we know, and that is Korea and China. But, you know, before this interview ends, I just want to say to the audience again, please don't forget the Christians that are being killed. Go to rescuechristians.org. That is rescuechristians.org. Give whatever money you can and help us save these Christian lives.
Well, now you mentioned, of course, that you think that they're going to unite the Muslim world under the Turkey, sort of to rekindle the Ottoman Empire. But do you think then that they'll be able to, the Sunni and the Shia Muslims will work together? Or do you think that the one or the Sunni will come to dominate the Shia and then they can unite them, all the Muslim world? What are your thoughts on that? Because basically many people, some people are suggesting there may be a conflict between the Shias and the Sunnis. Do you see this, or do you think that this is more or less just all suddenly contrived?
It's a very good question. There has always been a conflict. Ever since Muhammad died, the Shiites and the Sunnis have been killing each other. And there's more Muslims who have been killed under other Muslims than anyone. Muslims have been killed by other Muslims more than anyone. Now, will they unite in the end? Yes, they have to, regardless of their theological differences. Because when we look into history, we're always, especially in the Middle Ages, and even before that, we're seeing constantly Muslims and Shiites butchering each other in the most brutal ways. In the Middle Ages, there were two major kingdoms. There was the Fatimids, and there was also there was the Seljukian Empire. And the Seljukian Empire was the Sunni Turkish Empire in the Middle Ages. But then you also had the Iranian kingdom called that was located in Isfahan in Iran. Well, eventually what happened is that the Turks in the Middle Ages subdued the Persians. And then what happened a little bit after that, about 20 or so years after that, you had the Crusades. So the Muslims saw themselves in a major war against Christendom. So when the Crusades were fighting the Muslims, they were not just fighting Arabs. They were fighting Turks and Persians. They were fighting Egyptians, they were fighting Syrians, they were fighting people from every single
Gold
Middle Eastern country.
Hold that thought, we'll be back in just a moment.
There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
See you again sometime soon.
Yeah, don't forget, Rescue Christian.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ted Shubat. And remember their website, Rescue Christians. And I think they feel very deeply about helping the Christians over there. There's certainly no organizations really that are over there except Wally and his son Ted and helping Christians. And they've certainly helped over 200 Christians there in Pakistan. And I think that we need to support them, and they need our help, and there's no other place they're going to get it. Well, this is the time when I need to remind my ministry that Radio Liberty is listener supported. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us maintain our network of stations out across America, we're 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We broadcast and we reach people all across America who know something's wrong, but they're not getting the truth from the regular media. Well, they can get it from us. And basically, if you don't think the media is controlled, you need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor Ben Bagdikian. Professor Ben Bagdikian goes into the background of how the media is controlled, because he doesn't understand the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, or the Luciferian forces that energize that movement, but at least he gives you a superficial analysis of it. If you want to get into more detail, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Then, of course, you want to see how this all ties back to Cecil Rhodes, Professor Quigley's books, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. That's Tragedy and Hope, History of the World in Our Time, and The Anglo-American Establishment. Incidentally, the book was actively suppressed from 1949 to 1981. And I talked to the fellow who eventually had it published. He was afraid to come on the program. He realized the implications if you talk about these secret organizations that rule the world today. But the book, we carry both of them. They're published by pirates. But Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time and the Anglo-American Establishment will take you into Cecil Rhodes and the secret society. But what, of course, nobody wants to talk about is that they are founded in the occult. Almost all of the original members of these organizations were deeply involved in paganism and the occult. And the modern day Sydney rebirth of this pagan movement, which is sweeping across the world today. Because you see, there is an eternal battle between Jesus Christ, between our God, and between Satanism. There are satanic organizations all across America, and they're working at the highest level in Washington, D.C. today. And so go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can order my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get our 4-CD set on the Aquarian Conspiracy, our 4-CD set on the supernatural, and there's so much more there. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and if you go there, why, of course, you can watch our DVDs. And if I could suggest just one DVD, watch The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, you can listen to our radio programs. They're live 4 hours a day, archived 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters, and, of course, William Grieg is writing them now. But you can read what I was writing back in the 1990s. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will go to our website, and there's a site there. It's called News Around the Net. You'll see it at the top of the page. And we simply post sites there. We post articles that I think are important for you to read, and you can pull them down. You can send them to others. You have to become part of this army that is educating people across America. None of us can do it alone, but you need to join this battle, because if you don't, you're going to lose your freedom and your family and your funds. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we're losing that battle. Do everything you can to join with us and help us. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.